Well, good morning, church family. Today is an exciting day as we're going to talk about Love Loud, as you saw some footage from last year's. But let me give a shout out this morning to Cross Church. And today they're going to experience their first ordination. And so we're excited to see Joshua Jones. Joshua is our music leader out there, our worship pastor, as well as our media guy that you see the videos. Congratulations to Joshua. Just does a fantastic job to us. Ordination is the church's recognition that God's got his hand on this person, and we recommend this first person for ministry. In your world, it gives me the reverend title, all right? But don't call me reverend. Want to also give a shout out. Danny Kuntz is going to have a birthday tomorrow. Big happy birthday to him. Wasn't that fantastic? Orchestra, we don't give you enough love. That was awesome. If you've got a Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. As you're turning there, Sunday night, tonight, this is a bigger event. Now listen carefully. Can you do two things at once? Can you chew gum and brush your teeth at the same time? Some of you are just thinking about that right now. Tonight's a bigger deal than even the governor coming. We've been working toward this day, our second campus opening its first building, so it's going to be a great night tonight. Everybody bring a shovel. This is not going to be like the pastor in a hard hat and a few others. Everybody brings a shovel. Everybody's in the picture. It's going to be a great time. Why are we doing that? Because everybody worked together for this day, and we're looking forward to just great things ahead. First time we've built any kind of building in 20 years, and the first time in our church's history that we've built elsewhere. We're doing this for the sake of the gospel, and we look forward to a great time together. Bring a lawn chair and enjoy yourselves. It should be a great time. By the way, we'll announce our offering total tonight as well. As we're talking today about Love Loud, I want to move into a time beginning today into the mid-November. We're going to be emphasizing Love Loud, and then we come back in our church. We strategically plan this second week of November for our week of prayer for missions and a day of fasting. So let me say it again. Beginning today, a month of Love Loud, where we engage our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing God's love, to the second week of November, where we strategically set aside a week to pray for every face and every name on these missions moments, as well as a day of fasting for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be spread abroad. In fact, Danny and I had referred, he'd referred to this time of prayer today. What I want to see in the life of our church is we would move sort of in a pinnacle, a zenith, if you will, by mid-November, that every Sunday, like he had talked about in his running a marathon, where you run 1 mile to 2 miles, that we increase our prayer. We're focused, frontline praying. Everybody say that with me. Focused, frontline praying. There's maintenance praying. We need to do maintenance praying, pray for the health of others, but frontline praying is praying for the kingdom of God to expand. And so we want to be focused on that. In fact, today, I'm calling upon during this invitation for this altar. Would you just point to the altar? Sometimes I wonder if you don't know where it is. I'm going to point right here to the altar. Do you see it? I'm calling upon us to flood this altar today as we pray for the kingdom of God to expand, and we pray for our nations and our neighborhoods. Love Loud is a strategic focus from our church. It's a time where we move together with one mind as a church. That's a phrase out of the book of Acts, one mind. That early church moved with one mind. There was tremendous unity. It's a strategic time because it's a place where we share God's love in this community. We strategically show God's love to share God's love. In fact, I want to remind us of a passage that each and every one of our believers in Christ, you should have this memorized. It's called the Great Commission. Most of us are living the Great Omission, the Great Commission. This is a passage that all of us need to memorize. This is repeated numerous times throughout the Bible. In fact, in just a moment, in Acts chapter 1, we'll look at the fifth time this is recorded. But look what he says. Jesus said and came to them, "All authority has been given to me." How much authority? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always. In each of the Great Commission passages, and again, there's at least five, Jesus always issues these shortly after the resurrection. Now, what is it important? The last thing your mom or your dad say to you, is it important? Right before they go away, is it important? I'll answer the question. Yes, it's important. And it's exactly for that same kind of importance. Jesus gives us the Great Commission. So as we talk about love loud, let me give you three statements that are going to appear on the screen that I want us to just have it imprinted on our heart together. Deeds of love are designed to share words of love. Love Loud is an opportunity for us to get our hands dirty, to get into this community, to serve the underprivileged, to serve those who've been marginalized especially. And we do so with deeds of love in order to share words of love. Look at the second thing. Love Loud allows our church to show the gospel. Not just share the gospel, but to show the gospel. I'm reminded of James' words. What is it to say to someone, go, be in peace, but if they're hungry, you're to feed them. And then lastly, look at this statement. Showing the gospel is a gateway to sharing the gospel. Can we say those three statements together? Middle school students, would you lead us out all three on the screen? Everybody look at the screens together. Deeds of love are designed to share words of love. Love Loud allows our church to show the gospel. Showing the gospel is a gateway to sharing the gospel. This is an important month. This is a strategic month. In place of this time where we normally take a Sunday and do this, those of you who are familiar with our church, we normally short, brief service, push our people in every project, in every direction. This time, this year, we're asking you to do it anytime throughout the month. In fact, let me give you some of the highlights of what's happening. Our singles ministry, anybody in our singles ministry here? Gosh almighty, can you imagine later today if Jason Garrett says, is there any defensive linemen here today? And they look at that thing. Yeah. Any singles here today in our singles ministry? All right. You can actually say something there. You don't just raise your hand. This isn't school. Our singles ministry is going to lead the way by renovating homes through a ministry called Six Stones. This is a great opportunity where to serve those homes in the area, and they're doing it not just to make the neighborhood better, not just to increase resale value, but showing the gospel in order to share the gospel. Isn't it exciting to see them lead out in that? Or let me read you an email we received, because home builders, anybody in home builders in here? A little bit better than singles, not great. I'm glad the orchestra was a little louder than you guys today. We received this email from Shannon. She's the vice president of the PTA at Mullendore Elementary. Right across the street, she says, right across the street from you. We're having a fall carnival on October 27th. And I was curious about any resources or time that you might be able to donate to help us make this carnival a success for our students and community. Now listen how she brags on the volunteers, you. My family comes to most of the events you host at your church, and I'm always so impressed with how organized and successful they are, if she only knew. Please let me know if you have any ideas or resources we could possibly borrow and use. In fact, she says Mullendore is a Title I school and could definitely use all the help we shall get. So home builders is part of their projects mobilized over there, volunteering, showing God's love to a school that's in need. Let me give you another way that our church is doing it. And every week when you come in here, I'm just going to be sharing and bragging on our Bible fellowship groups. That's how we do this. We do this through Bible fellowship groups. So if you're not in a Bible fellowship group, it's going to be very difficult for you to do Love Loud. But we have six different Good News Clubs that are going on right now. These are after-school Bible studies. These are taking the gospel into the community, sharing Christ's love to people. Here's the thing. Beginning this new school year, more than 250 new students are being introduced to Jesus Christ. That's awesome. And so we are excited to be just putting our hands in the dirt. I feel like if you're not sweating and not getting your hands dirty, somehow there's just something missing in your life, right? Got to break a sweat. Here we go. Acts chapter 1. All this is in the book of Acts, our model church here in Jerusalem. For the third time, we're reading, purposely, intentionally, repeating ourselves back in Acts 1, beginning in verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up. After he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs. We're going to return to those three words in a moment. By many proofs. Appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about what? What was he speaking about? Say it. The kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John, that's John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So then, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will, here's our fifth great commission, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses in, look at the geographic expansion, beginning in Jerusalem, and then in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Notice the all-encompassing nature of the gospel message. Begins at home, spreads a little further until it gets to the ends of the earth. May God bless the reading of his word. Today I want you to see in three movements, all in Acts chapter 1. I encourage you to have an open Bible. These are not just coming from my imagination. Most of what you're going to see is coming right from this passage. Look at the first movement, what I'm calling, my mind is convinced that Jesus is risen. My mind is convinced that Jesus has risen. Notice in verse 3, the Bible says that Jesus presented himself alive by many proofs. Skeptical people want what? Proof. We want proof. You know, it occurred to me over the last few weeks that there was only one witness to the writing of the Book of Mormon. Only one was there. It occurred to me this week that there's only one witness to the writing of the Book of Quran. But there are 40 different authors, 40 different authors over 1,500 years comprised the Bible that you have in front of you. We want proof. In fact, the proof that Jesus gives is so very simple, it's so very straightforward. The proof, he says, I'm hanging around. Luke tells us, that's the writer of Acts, he hung around for 40 days in order to show evidence that he was alive. Did you know that Jesus Christ appeared to a room full of at least 500 people? There are not 500 people in this room right now. 500 people. Could all of us have a mass hallucination? Probably not. We want proof. But today, we don't have the same kind of proof. We don't have access to seeing Jesus. He's invisible to the eye. The strategic aspect of God is he makes belief in Christ invisible to the eye. So what can we see on October 1st, 2017? What can I see as proof? Everybody take their Bible and hold it up with me for just a moment. If you just hold your Bible up for just a moment. My Bible is alive. Say that with me. My Bible is alive. As I read it, it reads me. My Bible is alive. My Bible has eyes. As I read it, it reads me. What do I mean by that? I mean this. Let me tell you the story of a man in Virginia who'd come to faith in Christ. A pastor had been his pastor for about 9 years, but just prior to this pastor's coming, this more than 50-year-old man, a retired Army sergeant, rough and tough, illiterate, with literally just an eighth-grade education, he felt, as many in the community did at that time, that reading and writing, notice I didn't say reading and writing, but reading and writing were feminine qualities that he didn't need any of. This man indeed had been an alcoholic, but he came to faith in Jesus Christ. And during this 9-year time, as he was listening to the Word of God and communicating God's Word, he became hungry for God's Word. Have you ever experienced a hunger for the Word of God? Many of you today, you think the Bible is just a boring book that you're forced to read. Have you ever become hungry for the Word of God? This man, with an 8th grade education, nearly illiterate, functional illiterate, had a hunger to read God's Word. In fact, his hunger had come to the place where, so that he could read God's Word, he would get a dictionary and have to look up nearly every word, teaching himself to read. And soon he approached that pastor, Pastor Tim, and he said, "I want to teach God's Word." Pastor said to him, he said, "I don't know how you're going to do that." This retired Army sergeant said, "Would you give me a chance?" And according to his wife, she said, I'm convinced that every Bible study lesson he would teach in the Bible study took him 45 hours to prepare. Any given Sunday, it takes me about 10 to 12 hours to prepare for this. It would take him 4 times. That's the equivalent of a full-time job. And as he prepared to teach the Bible to that group of people, he would tape himself. And he would give the tape to some of his friends prior to the Bible study. And he would ask them, "Would you criticize me? Am I pronouncing these words right? And would you help me understand what these words mean?" In fact, the pastor was asked one time just how good a teacher was. He said, "Nothing spectacular, mediocre at best." But it was unbelievable to see the change in this man's life. You want proof of the Bible? You want proof today that Jesus Christ is risen? Jesus Christ makes a change. He can take illiterate, alcoholic men who care nothing about life, their families, or their communities, and give them a heart of love and move them in powerful ways, even to take 45 hours to teach a Bible study that doesn't get paid. This is the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know what North Texas needs? North Texas doesn't need more Republicans. It doesn't need more Democrats. It doesn't need people standing at a flag, sitting at a flag, doing all those protests. What we need are gospel-minded people who deliver the good news of Jesus Christ on our lips. This book is alive. It has eyes. As I read it, it reads me. In fact, at the conclusion of each of these three today, here's what I want us to do. Just repeat a little phrase that I want to just galvanize us together. Here it is. I am convinced that Jesus has risen. If you're convinced, would you say that with me? I am convinced that Jesus is risen. Here's our second point. My life is empowered by Jesus' Spirit. Look at verse 8. My life is empowered by Jesus' Spirit. But you will receive power. There's our word empowered. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and all to the ends of the earth. Now, these few brave followers, Jesus was speaking to about a dozen, maybe 20 or so people in a room at this point. They had been through boot camp. And you can read about their boot camp. Their boot camp is encapsulated in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They'd been in boot camp for more than 3 years. You Marines, you Navy, you Army, you just spent, 6 weeks in boot camp? They went through 3+ years of boot camp with Jesus. And now they're ready for battle. That's what the book of Acts is. They're already, they've been trained, they're ready for battle. And what happens here? Jesus tells them, don't go, stay, and to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, for some of you today, when I'm speaking about the Holy Spirit's power in your life, I might as well be talking about rugby or soccer or communicating in Latin. You know nothing of this. You've not seen anything of it. You're not aware that when believers come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God lives inside them. Notice the Bible says we're to wait on it. A friend of mine had found himself at an airport. He overheard a conversation. At the terminal, somebody had been waiting on their flight. In fact, they thought their flight was to leave at 5 a.m., got there early for that, only to find out the flight didn't leave till 5 p.m. Can you imagine waiting for that kind of time, 12-plus hours? Notice what he says in verse 5. John baptized with water, But you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I can't wait to get to that story with you. But God's people wait for God's power. God's people wait for God's power. The word baptize in verse 5 comes from a Greek word, baptizo. When William Tyndall, who wrote 80% of the King James Bible, was looking for a word to communicate baptism, he didn't invent a new English word. He just took the Greek word over, baptizo, baptism. And the word means immersion. Let me give you a picture of what's going to happen when you're a believer in Christ and you wait for the power of God. The word baptizo is used outside of the New Testament, but in this vicinity, in letters. And it's described as when a person is washing their dishes, they would baptize those dishes in water. You see it? Can you get the picture? It's an immersion. The dish is immersed in water. That's why we immerse in water, because we take the Bible seriously. And here, it's not water that you're baptized with. It's what? The Holy Spirit baptizes. There's a renewed power. In fact, all the people of God in this church had a single mind. They were united. They were in sync. They were listening to the same play. They got together in the huddle, and the quarterback, the Holy Spirit, not the pastor, had called a play, and everyone ran the same route. Everyone knew to do pass blocking, not run blocking. They were in sync with one another because they were listening to the same voice. God wants you to be in sync with His will. And as we operate in the Holy Spirit, we will be in the will of God. God's people wait for God's power. Now, how do I know, Pastor, how do I know that I'm relying on the Spirit? How do I know when I'm relying on the Spirit? Let me give you three ways to know when you're not relying on the Spirit. Let me give you three practical ways. If you're a plumber, electrician, a carpenter, a doctor, a school teacher, here are three ways that you can know that you're not relying on the Spirit. You're not relying on the Spirit when you're relying on yourself, when you say, I am relying on me when I lack prayer. Here's what the average Christian will say when they're relying on themselves. You know, I need to pray more. I need to pray more. If there is no intentional time in your life where you're asking the Holy Spirit, say, I'm hungry for you. I'm hungry for the things you do. Then you're not relying on the Holy Spirit. You're relying on yourself. The Bible calls on us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I need the Spirit's power in my marriage. I need the Spirit's power in my parenting. I need the Spirit's power just in my life. Here's a second way that you can know that you're not relying on the Holy Spirit. Not only when you lack prayer, but look at this secondly. When you have stress. Anybody here stressed? Okay. Stress is a warning light on your dashboard, your personal dashboard. You know what it's saying? It's saying, don't take me to the mechanic. It's saying this. You're trying to live an independent life. An independent life. God wants the Christian to be like the teenager who never leaves home. He wants you to be dependent. He wants you to always have a bedroom in His house. You're to always live off His finances, live off His power. Live off His life inside you. Again, some of you, speaking of the power of the Spirit, I might as well be speaking about soccer or rugby or even speaking in Latin. Here's the third way you would know that you're relying on yourself is that when everything in your life is being accomplished in a way that you can explain it. When you can just explain everything that's happening. You know what Spirit-filled living looks like? It says this. It says, you're not going to believe what happened. So many of us go by the motto, if it's to be, it is up to me. Have you ever thought this or said this in your family or work? If anything's going to be done, then I'm going to do it myself. It's the opposite of being Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled people, by the way, are not lazy. There's a point when you get up and you quit waiting and you get active. But if we're going to see God do something marvelous in our midst, we need the power of God. Let's say this together. I want God's power in my life. I want God's power in my life. In fact, to take a truth away from this, day by day, hour by hour, here's how you pray for this to make it work on a Sunday afternoon, on a Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Friday. Just repeat this into the ear of God. I am hungry for your presence. When I'm coaching this team, I am hungry for your presence. When I'm preparing taxes, I am hungry for your presence. When you're taking tests at school and doing homework, I am hungry for your presence. When you're dealing with the stress of not enough resources to make it through the month, I'm hungry for your presence. I want you to see again in verse 8, God's Spirit makes God's power available to do God's agenda. Why did the Holy Spirit come? Look in verse 8. So you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the most parts of the earth. There's not enough witnessing going around because there's not enough Spirit-filled living going around. You and I desperately need the power of the Spirit of God. Ran across a quote this week from a Christian more than a generation or two ago, Henry Drummond. Don't touch Christianity unless you're willing to seek His kingdom first. I promise you'll have a miserable existence if you seek it second. That's happened in my life. I went through depression because I sought the kingdom of God second. I said, God, I'm really glad to have you. Could you make your power available to do my life's agenda? You done that? Of course you have. Don't look at me like you're holy. Thank you, Father, for all this power. Now would you put it to use so that I can do what I want to do? I love what Henry Drummond says. You'll be miserable. You know what he says? Seek the kingdom. You know that passage? Here's a second passage every believer in the room should memorize. You want to know the will of God for your life? Memorize Matthew 6:33. Seek first. Do you know this verse? His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When you put Him first, He'll give you everything you need. So let's say this together. Let's say this together. I want God's power in my life. Our prayer today is, Jesus, work deeply in me so that I can show your love clearly. Show your love clearly. Here's our third movement, our third point. My heart is motivated by Jesus' sacrifice. Look again in verse 8 one more time. The key to good Bible study is to go back over the passage and over the passage and over it and observe things that the first and the second and the third reading are not showing you. I'm motivated by Jesus' sacrifice. You'll receive power and the Holy Spirit's come upon you and you'll be my witnesses. What are we communicating as a witness? Here's what we're communicating. We're communicating the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus. I'm told that the second time that Barack Obama was running for president, one of the ways that he won the state of Ohio is he went door to door, and he had twice as many door to door political knocking, would you vote for this president? Was that Mitt Romney? Was that the second one? Do I have that right? Twice as many. They were motivated to communicate the message of Barack Obama. Are we motivated to communicate the sacrifice of Jesus? Here's how the Spirit of God works. When you take God's word, there are times when it just feels like it's plugged in. When you're reading something, like I've read verse 8 now 3-4 times in this service, you've read it maybe in your 20s, you read it again in your 30s, and now you're reading it in your 40s and 50s, and then it leaps off the page. It becomes what I call a children's pop-up book. You know what I mean by that? It's just like it appears 3D. Or it says something to you powerfully, and you look as if the Bible, you look at it and you say, is this thing plugged in? Is there a battery power to this? Why is this illuminating like this? The Bible is alive, and it speaks with power. If you think today that reading the Bible is just boring, you may not know Jesus Christ. Let that sit there for a minute. Let that discomfort sit. My job is to disturb the comfortable, and there's a lot of comfortable people. It's also to comfort the disturbed. Have you ever experienced a time when you were over the pages of Scripture and you were weeping, or you were so excited that you could not tell somebody what you discovered? You had more enthusiasm for the Word of God than you did the Cowboys or the Rangers or any other sport team. The Word of God is plugged in. But notice the Great Commission here in verse 8. You'll be my witnesses. This is the fifth time the Great Commission is repeated. Go and make disciples of all nations. 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 Each and every time that Jesus does this, he does it at the end of his life, after his resurrection, just before he's taken up. The last words of your loved ones matter. And Jesus is communicating to us that you're made for more than watching television and having two nice cars. You're made for more than being comfortable. You were created, Christian, to make a difference in this world. You are a difference maker. And I think the enemy here for the American church is that we love comfortability. If there were no evangelism going on in this church, how long would it be before somebody complained about that? But if it was hot in this room, if there were no evangelism going on in this church, how long would it be before somebody complained? But if there were no coffee in your Bible study room, let a pastor spend $100,000 on evangelism and see what kind of complaints he would get. But let him spend $100,000 on an air conditioner unit, and you begin to see the priority. See, what happens is, when a church is the age of ours, some 60 years of age, we begin to just traffic among other Christians. And this is what's happening functionally. When you know Jesus Christ and you experience his love, he's found you, he's captured you, you know the grace of God, but you fail to communicate that gospel week in, week out, you know what you're saying? May I just lovingly point the truth out to you? The rest of the world, you're saying, can go to hell. Yes, despite the political correctness of the early 21st century, there is still a hell. And Jesus Christ came to keep you from there. And the best way that others know about that is when you open your mouth and the gospel of Jesus Christ goes between your teeth, across your tongue, and is verbally told to somebody else. Some of you may know the name Donald McGavran that really are into things like this. He wrote a book several years ago called Understanding Church Growth. It struck me. It was like an arrow that came across and hit my heart this week as I came across this. And I think this is perfectly fit for where we are with Love Loud in this community. Alongside McGavran, a sociologist by the name of Rodney Stark, listen carefully, he compares the less religious and the non-religious to those who have faith. Now here's a sociological study among those of no faith and those who have faith. And here's what he found. Those who have faith, you engage in less criminal behavior. Those who have faith, you experience a higher marital happiness and lower divorce rates. You have better and more behaved children. Here's one surprising. Those who have more faith, more religion, report more and better sex with their spouse and less cheating. They experience better mental health and better physical health. They give more of their time and their money away, more generous than those who don't have faith. They're more educated. They're more successful. What has this happened? According to Stark and McGavran, it's because of this. Conversion to Christianity entails at least three aspects. It's a change of the head. Your thought patterns change. It's a change of the heart. Your emotions change. And it's the conversion of the hands. Your actions change. And so what happens is when the gospel goes into like the mid-cities and infiltrates a neighborhood, and this home believes and that home doesn't, but maybe five of the eight homes believe, that what happens oftentimes is the gospel makes those five believing homes, they're living a difference throughout the week. They connect their education, their children's education, back to Jesus. They connect their marital fidelity back to Jesus. They connect their career, their vocation, back to Jesus Christ. And what happens is there's a lift. That's what McGavern says. There's a lift. Watch my hands. There's a lift. There's a societal lift. But what happens in the reverse? What's the bad news? They oftentimes leave that neighborhood behind. And where there was material success sometimes because of Christianity, and because those who often don't know Christ oftentimes don't care about life, there's a lack of material success. And then it becomes us and them. And when it becomes us and them, we fail to go back into that place to share the gospel. Well, they're not like us, we say. We have to be intentional about that. Where are the dead ends for the gospel in your neighborhood, in your street, in your work, in your community? My fear is today, if I could just be tough on us for just a moment, we want to reach, my fear is we want to reach the world for Jesus, but we don't want to reach our community for Jesus. We're fine with sending missionaries to the other side of the world, but when they come into my grocery store, well, they're not like me, Pastor. They don't eat the same foods. Love Loud is intentional about reaching those in need. And specifically, God has called us to care for the poor. We need to get our hands dirty this month. We need to get a sweat on our brow. I don't trust men that don't drive a truck, and I don't trust people who don't sweat and get their hands dirty frequently. About most of that's true. You pick the parts that you think are true. Andrew Murray said at a World Mission Conference in 1910, we shall need 3 times more men, 4 times more money, and 7 times more prayer. So this is what Love Loud is about. Deeds of love are designed to share words of love. This emphasis this month allows our church to show the gospel, and showing the gospel is a gateway to sharing the gospel. Would you say these words with me? I am motivated. Only if you're motivated. I am motivated by Jesus' sacrifice. I am motivated by Jesus' sacrifice. Friend, there's a time to pray and there's a time to do, and this is a time when God has called us to roll up our sleeves and get to work.